It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and riding with me, as always, for another Prospect Profile, breaking down the college sensation, the phenom himself, Trevor Lawrence, is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's up, man?
Chilling. I'm really, really excited to break down Trevor Lawrence. And if you are not subscribed to the podcast, if you're not following the Twitter handle, at ChalkFade, you need to get on that because we're dropping another five, I believe, prospect podcast this week, and it's going to be a lot of the quarterbacks. It's Trevor Lawrence, it's Zach Wilson, it's Justin Fields. We're going to have guests on to break down some more receivers as well. We're still, a couple months away from the actual NFL draft, but we've been grinding out the podcast, breaking these players down, and it's evergreen. So, you can listen to them all leading up to the draft. I mean, these players, we've seen them in spurts because of the COVID stuff the last year or so. We've seen them in large samples, and it's going to be really fun to watch them in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence might be one of the easier players we're breaking down just because we don't have to talk about where he fits because there's a 90% chance he will be playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars in a couple months.
Yeah, man. I mean, there are so many different ways that you can utilize the information that Adam and I are giving you with all of these prospects. Whether you're looking at early best ball drafts, you're looking at draft props, you're looking at even from dynasty rookie drafts upcoming. So no matter what you were going to utilize this information for, so many great facets and nuggets that we're going to dive into with all of these different players. So this is your first episode tuning in. One, thank you. Welcome. Two, just to kind of lay this out for you. So we dive into production backgrounds, their profiles, on paper, then give you some strengths, some weaknesses, and then possibly team fits. Now, some of the players, obviously, like with Lawrence, we kind of have an idea of where they're going to go, inside the top three and things of that nature. So we'll attack that from different angles as far as, with that specific team fit, what does that look like and stuff, man? So diving into Trevor Lawrence's production background, on paper, the guy is a stud. I mean, deserving of all the hype. 6'6", standing at 220 pounds, age 21. You look at his college QBR, 91st percentile. The yards per attempt were 8.3, 9.0. Had a career best 9.4 this last season. 19.9 breakout age. Guy threw for over 3,000 yards every single season, above a 65% completion rate. And even, he hit career high at 69% this last season. Was a number one recruit by 24/7 Sports and Rivals. The number two overall recruit by ESPN in 2018. You're just looking at some of his accolades walking into Clemson, man. USA Today, National Offensive Player of the Year, U.S. Army Player of the Year in his junior and senior season in high school. Adam, there is a laundry list of accolades tied to Trevor Lawrence's name. What jumps off the page for you first?
Yeah, so he obviously, we know Clemson is usually filled with offensive playmakers, and that was definitely the case in his first couple seasons. But last year, that was the worst supporting cast he's had during his time at Clemson. Obviously, he played 10 games because of the shortened season and everything like that, but still threw for over 3,000 yards. Like you mentioned, career high 9.4 yards per attempt and career high completion percentage. Now, Clemson last year, we talked about it on the Travis Etienne episode, where they lost four of their five starting offensive linemen to the NFL draft. They obviously, in 2019, Trevor Lawrence was throwing to Etienne, but he was also throwing to T. Higgins, who went in the early second round. He was throwing to Justin Ross. Didn't have those guys last year. Really only had Etienne and Amari Rodgers, and the offensive line was worse, but still, the accuracy was improved for him. The completion percentage and yards per attempt were career highs. So that was encouraging to me. They did utilize a lot of the screens for Trevor Lawrence. He actually had almost 700 yards off screens this year, which was the most among all quarterbacks, but obviously, it's not because Trevor Lawrence can't throw the ball. It's because it kind of fit their offense more. The offensive line wasn't as good. Etienne was, we talked about it, way more of a pass catcher this past season, so why not utilize him in the screen game? So yeah, I think the fact that I'm sure we'll talk about it with his strengths, the fact that he was more accurate this year and the production was still very strong despite the supporting cast not being quite as good is definitely a promising sign for somebody who obviously is already regarded as a top prospect in this draft class.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just staring at Lawrence, the prospect on paper, everything is fantastic for him. But there isn't a really, really easy case to be made that Lawrence, as good as he was, with all of these great players, like you're talking about T. Higgins, Justin Ross, ETN, being that trio at the top of the pecking order for the passing game in 2019, Lawrence got even better in 2020, Adam. I mean, like, going through all of his strengths, man, and there's a lot of them. I mean, you look at all of these numbers on the page, and you're talking about going from T. Higgins and Justin Ross to Amari Rodgers and Cornell Powell as your top receivers. That's a big difference, man. And you look at Lawrence's numbers on paper. I mean, dude, he got so much better, man. I mean, look, 2019, his adjusted completion percentage, and this is out of 116 quarterbacks, was 24th, 74%. In 2020, 77%. And you look at his clean pocket percentages. Adjusted completion percentage went up from 77% to 82%. His clean passer rating went up from 117 to 122. I mean, the guy got better across the board with a lesser supporting cast. Like, they lost four offensive linemen. The receivers got downgraded. And Lawrence's numbers got better, Adam. Like, if you're looking for different factors to see how Lawrence transitions to the NFL and being under more duress, having a different set of skill weapons, like we talk about, like, people want to talk about 2019 and is Joe Burrow really that freaking good and the skill set around him and what would he do if all of that changed, if it was lesser? That's kind of like what happened with Lawrence in 2020, and we got those questions answered, man. Like, all of these just outlandish, ridiculously talented players just, poof, kind of went away. And Justin Ross is that dude. T. Higgins, in his NFL rookie season, was that dude. And now Lawrence, look who he's thrown to in 2020, and the numbers improved? I mean, woo! That is fantastic!
There's a reason he's, I mean, me and you, we're not professional scouts by any means, but there's a reason why, you know, the guys that are scouts have him as one of the best prospects they've seen in quite some time. I mean, he's that good. And I think it's definitely encouraging. We worry about that a lot with quarterbacks where it's like, okay, yeah, they're playing in this offense with a ton of weapons and everything. How good actually are they? And it really didn't matter for me with Lawrence and Joe Burrow. Like, they were, if you just watch the tape, they're obviously worth the hype and worth being the first picks of the draft. But it's like, it's almost kind of refreshing to see Lawrence not in the most ideal situation compared to years past and still produce. I think that's definitely encouraging. And you almost kind of like to see that from Trevor Lawrence. So, yeah, I mean, We can talk about his strengths and weaknesses, but really, for me, the production still being there, the career high in completion percentage might be a little bit skewed because they ran more screens, but if you just watch the tape, I mean, he still made every throw in the book last year, and will be able to make every throw in the book at the NFL level.
Well, and even if you're talking about with the screen yardage, he was still 12th in deep yards, and if you look at, like, on paper, his accuracy to the deeper parts of the field with a lesser cast around him.
Yeah, and T Higgins is high pointing the ball better than almost anybody in college football last year. Like he was that good in that role, and we saw that in the NFL. Like the receivers they had this past year were not making plays deep down the field and you know when the ball's in the air like T Higgins would.
No, but even with a lesser cast, like, I'm not throwing shade at Amari Rodgers, but it is a fact.
Not T. Higgins. There's not nothing wrong with Amari Rodgers. He's just not T. Higgins.
No, but his deep accuracy improved, man, like, on paper. So in 2019, you're talking about with T. Higgins and Justin Ross. He completed 46% of his passes, and this is just a completion percentage. His deep passer rating was 105. He went deep at a 17% clip. Now, that went down, like we're talking about, in 2020. He was throwing deep at 15%. But if you look at the other numbers, his adjusted completion deep went up to 51%. His passer rating was at 113. Like, that is fantastic. So even though he was doing it less often, he was more efficient when he was doing it. And that kind of leads us into all these different strengths for Trevor Lawrence, man. Like, his ball placement on deep throws is so freaking good, man. Like, leaning guys on throws, you're not looking at guys having to contort their bodies. And we talked about some of this with Kyle Pitts. You did not see that with Trevor Lawrence. Like, his ability with ball placement to lead his receivers and put the ball on even deep throws where only his receivers are able to get it is fantastic, man. Plenty of zip on his throws. Like, I will not question his ability to push the ball down the field. In the NFL, you're seeing him throwing deep outs. There is plenty of juice on it. So we're talking about, and we're going to get into Fitz. We talked about this previously when we were talking about players to go trade for in Dynasty. Like, his fit with DJ Chark deep is going to be so damn fun to watch.
I'm so excited. How many times in during the season did I just completely complain about DJ Chark not getting catchable deep passes? And
it was so frustrating.
Yeah, and now with Lawrence there, I mean, Lawrence has got some crazy touch on his deep passes. Like, I want to be careful here because Russell Wilson's one of the best deep ball passers I've ever seen. But it kind of reminds me of Russ with, like, the accuracy, the ball placement, where he can just loft it over mm-hmm. your shoulder and the touch he has. So, yeah. I talked about the numbers, and we'll talk about the fit with Jacksonville a little bit. But just – I'm sure DJ Chark is really excited to actually be able to – I don't know how many times last year DJ Chark would get separation, run a great route, get 15, 20 yards down the field, and the ball would sail 6 yards out of bounds.
I mean, we watched it time and time and time and time again.
And that didn't help him because then you could see him visibly frustrated on the sidelines, and you can't blame him. I mean, it's a bad team, obviously. He's doing everything he can to get open. It's just Minshew and these guys were not hitting him. It was Jake Luton. Like, they just couldn't hit him. But then, at the same time, when they did throw deep and was accurate, it was Keelan Cole. And as somebody who was invested in DJ Chark last year, I was, you know, not happy.
No, but we got to sit here and talk about it's going to be wheels up for Chark. We'll touch on that more when we talk about his fit with Jacksonville. But just hammering on some more of Lawrence's strengths here. Dude, his ability, like, and all of the subtle skills that he has, not only on the ball placement and his accuracy, because you could see those things on paper, but watching the film and seeing how he manipulates coverage, whether it's pump fakes, whether it's head movements and things of that nature, staring down certain receivers and then moving off of them to sit here and draw the safety over there. You see these things show up on the film, and it's great to see that, like, as him walking into the NFL and his ability to do some of those things. I think that his pocket awareness could stand to be improved a little bit, but it's still really good walking in as a rookie, man. I mean, what were some other strengths that jumped off of you when you watched Trevor based off of the games that you took in?
So he is really good just at the line of scrimmage, I feel like, right? Just recognizing coverages, who's where, you know, what defense they're in. I think that's going to be rare for him coming into the NFL because that's something you worry about with a lot of these rookie quarterbacks. I think his timing, his recognition, I think those are all really good. And then just kind of almost like 6'6", 220. I know it's not like a skill set strength, but like that's so rare for somebody to be 6'6", 220 and have the mobility that he does. Like, I think he had 8 rushing touchdowns last year. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were, you know, read options with Travis Etienne where he sold the handoff extremely well and just walked in for touchdowns. Like, he's going to be a guy that, look, might actually hurt James Robinson with his ability to score from inside the 5-yard line on those design runs, a la Josh Allen. So that's obviously strength, just the size and the mobility, the athleticism, the ability to extend plays. He's got a rocket arm. We talked about the touch and the accuracy as a deep ball passer. There's a lot, obviously. There's a reason he's the best prospect in this class, one of the best prospects over the last handful of years. I think he's also a guy that he's not the most accurate quarterback that's come out in the past couple of years, but he's not, like, he's obviously still extremely accurate. Good anticipation. There's, you could literally just go off with like 15 to 20 strengths on Trevor Lawrence. There's a lot.
Oh, there definitely is, man. I mean, look, and you talked about his ability as a rusher, I think is great. And we'll kind of get into weaknesses and stuff like that, but his ability in the open field and his elusivity, like, I'm seeing him juke dudes. I'm seeing him pull away from DBs in the open field. So he's got the speed and the ability as a rusher. Just diving into a few more of his strengths, man. He is a guy that's willing to push the ball into contested catch situations. He's also willing to hang in versus pressure and deliver an accurate ball. One of my favorite games to watch for Trevor Lawrence, and I love just to watch like what he was able to do versus this defense, is versus Notre Dame. You're seeing Lawrence consistently getting to his third read in his progressions smoothly, quickly, getting the ball out, stepping up versus pressure in the pocket. And the pocket awareness he had in that game was fantastic, man. It was one of those games, like, if you're just looking at, like, resume of film overall, it was one of those games that he might not have thrown for 400, like, 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, all of these different things. But looking at what he did versus that defense, I was really, really impressed with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and one thing I'll add, Trevor Lawrence recently had his pro day, and I was talking a lot about his touch and his placement on deep balls, and he showed that at his pro day. Like, he threw he launched a ball like 50 yards, and it went right into the receiver's hands on a deep crossing route. So, like, that was good to see as well. But yeah, I mean, I think, like, reading defenses, awareness, where the read's supposed to be, like, he's NFL ready, like, at the core, like, perfectly NFL ready right now. And the other thing you like is he obviously played a lot of good defenses at Clemson. He was obviously the face of the franchise there. Like, he's going to be the face of the franchise in Jacksonville, and he's going to be their franchise quarterback, the first one they've had in forever. So, like, he's right. Like, he's experienced with that. Obviously not the NFL level, but, like, he has experience leading a program, leading a team, being the face, playing against good competition. Like, as NFL ready as it gets, Trevor Lawrence really is. And that's obviously what you want with any first round pick, but especially the first overall pick of the draft at the quarterback position.
Oh, absolutely, man. And we've gushed over all of the fantastic skills that Lawrence has. So we do have to mention some areas that could he improve in his game? Could he polish some of these other areas to take himself to even another level? Looking at him as a rusher, we talked about he's 6'6", but he's only 220, man. I mean, he is not like this hulking 6'5", 6'6", like built just insanely thick. There are a few times as a rusher where I'd like to see him go out of bounds. I'd like to see him slide. I'd like to see him avoid some of the contact, because even though we're talking about him at the collegiate level, going up against all of these massive programs in the NFL, it's an all-star team of all of those dudes. Like, every guy is massive. Every guy can fly down the field. I would like to see Lawrence, and for, I know that his name and Andrew Luck's name has been brought up in the same sentence from time to time on social media as a prospect, evaluations, things of that nature. You saw Luck deal with some injuries and stuff like that, and some of that, whether that's as a rusher, his ability to score rushing touchdowns or have that rushing equity. Lawrence, I would like to see him either slide, go out of bounds, avoid some contact more than he does at the NFL level than versus what he did in college. But I'm curious your thoughts there and any other kind of areas where you feel like Lawrence can improve upon.
Yeah, and I'm hoping at the NFL level, you know, Urban Meyer and the coaching staff will just be like, hey, like, you're the dude. We can't afford you getting hurt. So hopefully he starts to slide and stuff like that and get out of bounds. Really, there weren't much weak. There weren't many weaknesses for me. The main one was like he'll lock into his primary read a little bit too often. That could get him into some trouble. There was the Ohio State game in the playoffs where he got away with that a couple times and should have had a couple interceptions that weren't there. But other than that, yeah, I mean, like, there were some accuracy concerns, but he, like I said, his accuracy improved this past season. Maybe that was because there were more screens, but like you said, the deep ball accuracy was still very good. It's hard to find, to pinpoint a ton of weaknesses with him right now. I think the point you brought up about him getting out of bounds is obviously strong. And I think if I had to add anything else, it would just be that he'll lock into his first read a little bit too often. But again, these are weaknesses that you can easily kind of fix as he progresses in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, considering his skill set and stuff, we are splitting hairs, but we got to bring it up here, man. And like you're talking about,
no prospect is perfect.
No, absolutely. And the other thing, we want to give you the full range of not only what these players do well, but areas where we think that they could still improve upon and take their games, you know, elevate their games even further. And I saw some of the getting through his progressions in his first read. That was why I think Notre Dame, and I went back and I watched 5 to 6 games of 2019. I saw that more prevalent, him locking on the players in 2019 with Justin Ross and T. Higgins. And if you go back and watch some of those games in 2019, there were times where he was looking for Ross religiously. And he should. I mean, the dude is an uber talent. But I think that is something we need to bring up for 2020. I saw it still in some games, but I didn't see it as much. And we're talking about questions being answered. I think 2020 and him staying and what happened to that team around him answered a lot of questions for me with Trevor Lawrence as a full evaluation as a prospect and seeing him in different environments. So I think that the first read and him locking onto certain players, whether that revisits itself like in the NFL and he becomes enamored with a number one wide receiver like DJ Chark, I think LaVisca being there kind of helps the ability that won't happen. And I'm so curious how that offense is going to function.
And let's not forget, they're going to have a shitload of cap. They have so much money. Yep. They can go out and try to get Kenny Galladay if he doesn't get tagged. They can try to get – I keep saying Allen Robinson because he's a receiver, but he's not going – maybe he does go back to Jacksonville. I don't know, but that'd be funny. Like they have so much money that they can just – okay, Trevor Lawrence is clearly the future, and they still have draft picks too. Like, let's just build around Trevor Lawrence. Let's get off to a start where these teams have – started with their young quarterbacks. Josh Allen last year is how Buffalo's built around him. Drew Locke, they've been trying to build around him in Denver. Like, that is, if you have a young quarterback who you believe is your guy and Trevor Lawrence is clearly their guy, you don't even hesitate. You just build around him. And I think that's what Urban Meyer is going to want to do. So it might, I wouldn't be surprised if entering the 2021-22 season, it's not just Chark and LaVisca leading the receiving corps in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're talking about with Jacksonville, and let's just discuss that even further, Adam. His fit in Jacksonville, I think that is going to be a great one. Like, you're talking about the fact that they could bring in different players and augment even what that receiving depth chart looks like, man. I think the scheme and what Meyer does, like, we know the RPOs are definitely going to be there. But with Bevel being in Jacksonville as well and looking at what they do at play action – you look at Lawrence in 2020, he had the 10th highest yards per attempt difference on play action throws, 11.2 versus 8.2. He had the 9th highest overall yards per attempt on play action, 9th highest play action passer rating. I think that is another thing we need to discuss here with Daryl Bevel, because we've seen that be a component and where quarterbacks have succeeded. We talked about his acumen in throwing the deep ball. Dude, we saw what Bevel has done in previous numerous stops. You're talking about Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford. The ability to use play action and let players get deep, and you have a passer that succeeds at that, has shown you that already at the collegiate level, that he can push the ball down the field, is good at play action. I think he's going to thrive in this system, regardless of whether you talk about RPOs and Meyer, or you talk about play action and chucking the damn ball deep. I think that this is a fantastic fit. I think that Meyer did a great job in bringing in Bevel and what they were able to kind of tailor this passing game and how it's going to look and accentuate like what Trevor Lawrence does well. It's going to be pretty, man. It's going to be beautiful to watch, honestly. And I don't think that that's being hyperbolic to say that. But, like, this sets up really nicely. We talk about a lot of these rookie quarterbacks and them entering rough situations as rookies and being like, oh, it's going to be an uphill climb.
I'm pretty stoked the Jets won a couple of those games down the stretch. Just say that.
Yes! Yes! Like, Jacksonville is a
especially as a Bills fan
landing spot, man.
Yeah, I mean, you got, in my opinion, you can win games with DJ Chark as your alpha. Like, we saw what he did 2 years ago. Last year, like, anybody that looks at the stats, like, it was quarterback play. We know that. It was bad. And yeah, like, Gardner Minshew would run, but Gardner Minshew, majority of his rushing came off scrambles. Like, with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer there in the RPOs, it's going to be a lot more designed runs. That could even help James Robinson. I comped him to Alfred Morris, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And Alfred Morris obviously had – I know Trevor Lawrence isn't the, you know, as mobile as RG3 was coming out of Baylor and in the NFL, but he's going to give you that – threat as an RPO runner, and that's going to help James Robinson. We've seen a ton of running backs just have better overall numbers alongside RPO systems and mobile quarterbacks, so I'm excited for that. And yeah, I think Chark is going to be like a screaming value unless the hype, because everybody knows Lawrence is going there, but I think people will still be a little bit worried about Chark last year. That I'm gonna be going right back in on DJ Chark. Obviously, I loved Visca last year. I think he fits pretty well with Lawrence too. Somebody they can use in the screen game, in the intermediate stuff, and then they still need a tight end. But I think Lawrence, thankfully, will be playing in Jacksonville, not in New York, especially because I'm a Bills fan. So I don't want to have to go against Lawrence and potentially Deshaun Watson if he gets traded and whoever the Patriots are going to have a quarterback for the next X amount of years.
Dude, I think that you brought up LaVisca. I think that everybody's going to love DJ Chark for good reason with Lawrence coming to Jacksonville. Dude, I think LaVisca could be one of the best values.
He is going to go so overlooked because last year's rookie receiver class was loaded. You had Jefferson, Higgins, Lamb,
and they all exploded, man.
Right, Ayuk. Even hashtag toe drag swag Gabriel Davis. And then you have this year's class, which is very good too. Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, Rashad Bateman, Elijah and Rondell Moore. Like, it's loaded. So, like, nobody's going to be talking about LaVisca Chenault other than the fact that, oh, yeah, he has Trevor Lawrence, so it'll be helpful. Like, that's it. Like, that's going to be the synopsis of his analysis.
Dude, you look at how Clemson ran their offense this last season and looking at the difference in weapons and stuff. What they did with Amari Rodgers and a lot of these first read design screens and to get him into space, all of these easy completions, I think that's a role that we're going to see. Yes, James Robinson can play in that role some. And can that help him? Yes. But I think that that is going to be a role that we see LaVisca Chenault, like, thrive in. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a role that he can fill in this offense. DJ Chark is going to get some of that. But, dude, I think that's perfect for LaVisca Chenault.
And Rodgers, like, got a lot of those, like, touch passes at Clemson last year, too. Like, when he's in motion and they just kind of flip it to him. Yeah. LaVisca, I think, is going to work really well with Lawrence, too.
I think it's going to be great, man. I think LaVisca is the guy that I'm going to be heavy into entering this season, whether it's best ball, trying to trade for him and dynasty and stuff like that. Like, I think that he could get a lot of work and a lot of volume on some really easy passes. And the ability to let him and that athleticism that we talked about previously on numerous episodes, I think just to allow that to flourish, man. So really, really going to be heavy in on LaVisca Chenault this upcoming season.
Yep, and the defense, I know they have money, but I don't see them getting enough pieces to where this defense becomes great. Their pass rush was bad last year. I know there had some injuries. It was, you know, Kalavon Chaisson's rookie year. Josh Allen missed some time. Like, they were very banged up. But this is still going to be a bottom 10 defense, which should help, you know, the passing game as well. I struggle with a player comp for Trevor Lawrence, though. Like, he's a very, very unique prospect.
His skill set is so multifaceted, man. I don't think there's a perfect guy to marry him with. Like, I see, and I know people could say this as being a little bit lazy. Yes, same school and stuff like that.
I know where you're going, and I agree.
His ability as a runner and as a playmaker, oh, my God. People are going to say, okay, well, you watch Clemson, it's going to be it, man. No, that's not it. Like, I see a decent amount of Deshaun Watson when I watch Trevor Lawrence, dude.
My high end was Deshaun Watson, and my floor was Tennessee Titans Ryan Tannehill. But obviously, like, more just a stronger arm and everything. Like, play action, a lot of that in Tennessee, obviously. Tannehill connected a lot of deep balls. Like Miami Tannehill is obviously totally different. Tannehill has been, like, one of the five most efficient quarterbacks in football since he joined the Titans. But, like, that's kind of how I view Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's his – I think Tennessee Titans Ryan Tannehill, who has been a top 10 quarterback the last couple of years, I think that might be Trevor Lawrence's floor. And then, yeah, Deshaun Watson, like, it's a tough spot to compare Lawrence because he's so unique. But, like, with the way he creates plays and makes plays and can extend plays, plus Deshaun Watson's an incredible deep ball passer as well. I see it, man. I really do. Like, and Deshaun Watson – it's not like Deshaun Watson is he's not Lamar Jackson as a runner. Like, he doesn't have 4.4 speed or anything like that. He's obviously an incredible athlete, an incredible playmaker, but it's not like he's going to – like, I think Deshaun Watson ran like a 4.6 40, high 4.6s. That's probably where Lawrence is going to be.
But the thing about it is you see both of them, when they are asked to be elusive in the open field, they are able to make some dudes miss. Yep. And it's not just a speed thing. Like, Lamar Jackson, yes, he's elusive, but the guy has afterburners. You don't see that with Watson and Lawrence, whereas, like, they can still shimmy and make some dudes miss, man. Like, that can definitively happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's lazy to say, okay, Clemson quarterback. Like, the way they make plays throwing the football, that's who I kind of saw as well. And
yeah,
Deshaun Watson is, what, arguably the third or fourth best quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's just very, if Trevor Lawrence,
it's not even arguably that's fact, dude.
Yeah, if, like, Trevor Lawrence Watson, if the Jaguars get Deshaun Watson production, that I'm sure they'll be very happy, because Deshaun Watson is an absolute stud.
Well, and we're talking about the same players, man. Trevor Lawrence has the ability, just like Watson has done for the Texans, to be that franchise changing type player. A guy that literally on his own, by himself, can win you 4 to 5 games just by his damn self.
Which
a
he
season.
Did his past season, because that exactly. team was terrible.
Exactly, man. But I think that's Lawrence, too. And I'm really excited to see what all he's able to do, the system they're going to put around him in Jacksonville, the skill players, an offensive line that was sneaky freaking good as long as it could stay healthy this upcoming season, and how they're going to augment this roster. All right, everyone, that is our prospect profile for the phenom, Trevor Lawrence. Again, need to be following us at ChalkFade on Twitter. We are giving away a signed Calvin Ridley jersey. Two easy steps to get entered. Head over to iTunes, rate, review the podcast, DM us a screenshot of said review to the Twitter handle at ChalkFade, and you are entered to win. Once we hit 200 reviews, we are giving this thing away. It is out the door. Gonna send this to one of our awesome, awesome listeners. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.